The Lord has a plan and a way for us to make it to heaven, each and every one of us. And just thinking of that fact alone, that should take the major weight of that off of our own shoulders. And the scripture talks about the government being on his shoulders, on Jesus Christ, and that he is the head of the church. He's the one with all ultimate power and authority. But there is a part for us to do too. And I want to read a scripture in Philippians, the third chapter. A couple of familiar scriptures here. The whole chapter is good, but in Philippians, the third chapter, I want to start off reading a couple of scriptures here. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's quite a mouthful. But you consider who wrote this, the Apostle Paul. And I want to cover another story about Apostle Paul that'll help emphasize some more of this. But before I do that, I'll just write the title on the board. So I've written on the board, counted loss for Christ. And truly that was a big theme of Apostle Paul for his own personal life, that there was a lot of things that he had acquired and attained to in life, in his personal life, but there came a point where he counted it loss for Christ. Now I want to tell a little story, share a little bit, that perhaps we've all known of individuals or experienced this ourselves. Just recently, we had some neighbors that had a house fire, and we weren't aware of it until a day or two later. It was on the other end of the neighborhood, and anyway, it was late at night. But their young son dropped by one evening and visited with us, and come to find out, they had all had a... He was just kind of retelling how everything happened. The children, their parents, they're all home one evening and had an enjoyable evening playing games, eating supper, and did some things together and just had a good time. And they all went to bed and everything was fine. And then about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, they're awakened by a smoke alarm. And thankfully, it was actually the mother heard it. The others didn't hear it at first, but she heard it. And so she jumps up, and sure enough, there's a fire on the north end of the house, their fireplace area, and the attic, and it was just all in flames. So she wakes everyone up in the commotion, and they all got out alive, thankfully. And they lost a lot inside the house. Of course, fire truck came, and but the smoke and water damage, and then everything froze that night because it was so cold. And so pretty well a loss as far as internally of the structure. But one of the things he said, and this young man, he made this comment. He said, you know, he's like, the most important thing on my mind was my sisters. He said he ran into their rooms, grabbed one under each arm, and ran out the house. That's what he was focused on. And then later, and he's, you know, 16, 17 years old, and later his dad commented to him and complimented him on that. He's like, that was a mature thing to do. And he's like, you know, the young man is saying, but nothing else really mattered. He's like, at that time, it was our family. He's like, that's what was important. And you know how many things in life you think of people that have experienced situations like that, serious calamities, catastrophes, major things happen to them in life. and there's something about it that it brings. It's like a reality check. What's really most important in life? Is it the things? Is it the stuff? Is it the prestigious positions, the fame, the recognition, all those things? No. What it all boils down to is our lives, you know, family, things like that that go on forever. And so it was back in this situation with Apostle Paul. I want to cover a story here, and this is a story of the shipwreck that Apostle Paul was in, and it's in Acts, the 27th chapter. I mean, this was, in fact, there were several things in Apostle Paul's life that got his attention, that brought him back to reality. As I mentioned with this young man and their family's house fire, and this was one of the things he mentioned too. He's like, you know, we have insurance. He's like, all those things can be replaced. He's like, but our family, it can't be replaced. I'm like, you're right. It's like, you got it. And his comment later was, he said, God has a plan. He's like, we don't know, we don't understand it, but God has a plan. And you know, I was thankful to hear that from a young man. No doubt his parents said that. Maybe he caught on to that too, but God has a plan. And you think of Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he worked up the ranks in the Pharisees, and he was, had a very prestigious lineage and background. And his schooling and his knowledge, his understanding, that he knew the scriptures well and the laws and practiced those things and really had a lot of power and influence, and no doubt had some money. A lot of those things he had acquired through the years, worked his way up the ranks. And then you remember the story, we won't turn and read this, but remember the story of his road to Damascus experience. And God met him there. And that was a circumstance that really, that's what turned his life around. When Jesus met him there on the road, he's like, why persecutest thou me? He's like, I'm working for the church. You know, he's thinking he's doing God's work. And Jesus is saying, no, you got it all backwards. You're fighting against me. You're kicking against the pricks. You're doing damage here, really. You're doing the opposite of what you think you're doing. And in the end, his life was changed and transformed, turned around 180 degrees, and he started preaching the gospel. But you know how life would have it. Satan wasn't content of then just leaving Apostle Paul alone, saying, well, I lost him. You know, that's someone I was using. No, the devil followed after and tried to use many things to discourage, to disrupt the good that Apostle Paul was doing. Because he was going around and establishing congregations and encouraging the brethren and the church, and it was catching on, and people were being saved and converted and transformed, and he had a powerful influence in a different way. Before, it was all about the law, you know, and the strict regulations, and they were stoning people and putting people in prison and breaking up homes. But then God got a hold of him, and he was a new person. And he had that life-changing experience there. But you know, as life went on, he had some difficult things to face. He was stoned. He was neglected. He was put into prison. He was abused. He was all kinds of things for the gospel's sake, for Christ, okay? And that's why when we read these scriptures earlier, he counted those things but loss for Christ. Now I want to turn and cover this story here, the shipwreck. It's in Acts, the 27th chapter. And we'll just skip through the chapter. We're not going to read all the verses. We'll kind of skip through it and maybe paraphrase some of what happened. So Paul, being sent to Rome, he had already appeared to Agrippa. And you remember the story when Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Apostle Paul had some influence. And it was because of the things that he had suffered, you see. And then the witness that he was able to live out before those that knew him before and knew how God had transformed him, he had a powerful testimony. But yet, he had to suffer some things to be able to share that testimony. How else would have Agrippa heard the gospel message from Paul than if he would have been suffering? He couldn't have heard that message, except he'd be a prisoner, you see, for Christ. But a prisoner, and he testified. He appealed to Agrippa. And then sent him on to Rome. And the 27th chapter says, "And when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adrianum, however you pronounce that, we launched, meaning to sail, by the coast of Asia and on to Macedonia, Thessalonica. And verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." So there was some kindness expressed there, and that was amazing. It wasn't always granted. But there was something about Paul, no doubt, that the captor realized, you know, we don't have to be afraid of him. We'll let him visit his friends a little bit, and we'll get on their way. So they're sailing along the coast here, kind of bouncing in and out of towns and continuing on their journey to Italy. And verse 4, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." So yet they had to take a few other little discourses and maybe reroutes because of the wind and the storms. And I think of this, you know, life is a journey. You could say we're all on a ship. There's songs talking about sailing to Zion, and, you know, but we're all on a journey, sailing through life, and there's going to be little pit stops here and there and times to be refreshed like they allowed Apostle Paul to. But life is not always just this nice, relaxing time and visiting with friends. And there's times when, as this goes, they were continuing on the journey and all of a sudden here comes some winds. Well, we got to go a different route. We're not going to get to stop off and visit some friends again and relax again. No, we're going to have to go another course. There's some contrary winds here. There's some challenges up ahead. So that's what life brought them. And it goes on. They went to a few different places and continued on here. Verse 9. "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous," so now they're in some more storms. This is getting pretty serious. "Because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." So he's given a warning here. And I believe Apostle Paul was truly in touch with the Lord. And I believe there were some promptings and something he felt from the Lord that this is dangerous, this journey. We're out here in the ship. And you realize they don't have the technology we have today, where you can see the forecast days ahead and look at the radar and see exactly what's happening and predict and know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. No. There's a lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainties. That's what they were dealing with. You know, it's no different with us today. We all know that life is uncertain. You never know what the next day, what we'll encounter. You may come down with a sickness. You may slip and fall. You may have a car accident. You may lose your job. You may lose a loved one. There's all kinds of things that can happen. None of us know from one day to the next. You know, that's exactly what they were experiencing on this ship. Oh, they knew they were sailing. They had a destination. But they didn't know that this storm was going to come up. And they didn't know they're going to have to divert to another route and then try to go this way and that way. And they still got caught in the storm. You know, that's life sometimes. You do your best sometimes. Your greatest efforts to try to minimize the damage, to try to go around some turbulent areas and do things, and your best efforts sometimes still fail. Because we're human. And not because of any malicious intent or any lack of effort on. Sometimes you do your best to do something and things, the storm still comes. There's still the waves, and there's still the confusion and the doubt and all these things that it's rocking your boat, and you don't know what to do. But I tell you what, folks, you know what the comforting stabilizer in all of this is? Apostle Paul, he was in touch with someone higher than the captain of the ship. He was in touch with someone higher than the centurion, the one that had him captive as a prisoner. Apostle Paul was in touch with the God of heaven and earth. He was in touch with the one that had control over the winds and the waves. What Jesus performed as miracles when he was on the earth. He was in touch with that same God. And it goes on here, it says, verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things which are spoken by Paul." That sounds pretty logical. He's like, who are you, Paul, to tell us what's really going to happen? You're not a true sailor. You know, you're not, you don't have years of experience. You spent your years in the books, you know, and the laws and all these other teachings. You preach and you doing all these other things. What do you know about sailing a ship? You know, sometimes we can encounter the same type of opposition. We can be doing our best and we put forth the effort and pleasing the Lord and maybe sharing our testimony and trying to live the life, and others can come up and say, oh yeah, you know, and we maybe try to give some words of advice and counsel to someone, and they may kind of look at us and go, and just who do you think you are? That's Apostle Paul. He was just sharing what he felt from the Lord, no doubt, a prompting to share what he had on hand. He's like, there's a concern here. Well, this is in peril of our lives. And something's going to happen here. And he's like, what do you know? You know, in life, there will be people that may not respect, whether it be our opinion, our advice, our position, our experience, our testimony. They're like, whatever. You're just so-and-so. What do you know? Now that can happen in life. But dear ones, don't let it discourage you. Focus on the Lord. He's the stabilizer in all the affairs of life. He's our source. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our rock. Well, and it goes on here. They were going to find out. Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. Okay? They're going to come around. He goes on, verse 14, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. And sure enough," verse 15, "and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." In other words, it got to a point where the captain of the ship is saying, whoa, this storm is serious. And we're to the point, it doesn't matter which way we turn the rudders or the sails, it's like we're going to break them if we keep forcing to try to deviate and avert and get around this. We just got to let her go. They realized it was that serious. And then no doubt to think, you know what, Apostle, this guy Paul, maybe he did know what he's talking about. Maybe there is something here. But they had just let the ship go. There was nothing else they could do. But God saw them where they were at. God knew where that ship was because God had a child on that ship. That child was Apostle Paul. And that child was having communication with the Lord. And you could say it this way. You could say God was looking down on the radar and he sees this little blip on the radar. He's like, oh, that's my child on that ship right there. I know where you're at. I know the course you've been traveling. I know what you've done in your life and how that you've, you know, I hear you, Paul. I hear you, child. I know where you're at. Well, it goes on, verse 18. "And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." This was quite a storm. And in desperation, the sailors and everyone on the ship, the captain saying, throw all the extra stuff overboard. Just get rid of it. We don't care. We don't need it. We know. We don't care whose merchandise it is. if our lives are lost, if the ship is lost, then it's of no avail anyway. She's like, just get rid of it. So all the extra stuff, they're just pushing overboard. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. This is no use. We're down to the basics here. We're down in survival mode. And it goes on later, we'll read some of this too, that they weren't even taking time to eat. This was serious. And this was days that this storm is going on. And they're doing everything in desperation mode, trying to save their own lives. And all this other stuff, they're like, we don't care. And at one point, they even got rid of the anchors. That was just extra weight that was not allowing the ship to be lightened where it wouldn't be tossed as much. They got rid of everything possible they could. But here we have something that took place. In verse 21. Well, first of all, I want to touch on one other verse. In verse 20. It says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. In other words, this is a serious storm. A lot of waves, a lot of wind. But not only that, they didn't even have the sun or the stars to navigate with. Think about that. That's how they navigated. They're in the middle of a storm for days. And they have no idea which direction they're going because they can't see the stars and they can't see the sun. So they're literally out there just at the mercy of the wind. That's all they can do. They're doing everything they can possible. Dumping things overboard and they're just hanging on. They're not able to hardly sleep. They're not able to eat. They're just hanging on for dear life. For days. You know, the same can be in our own lives or in other lives of people we have contact with. It may feel like for long periods of time that it's just stormy, windy, no sun, no stars. Seems like there's no direction. Seems like there's no hope here. And we're just bouncing around just trying to survive. You know, that's how they felt. But I want to remind us again, there was someone on board that God had not forgotten. Okay? There was someone on board that already counted all these things at loss. All right? He had already thrown some things over, figuratively speaking, in his life. He'd already gotten rid of a bunch of rubbish, a bunch of things that had no use in his life. He's already gotten rid of those things, and God saw that. God was aware of that. You could say it this way. Apostle Paul had gotten lean and mean. And he'd already cast all those other things out of his life, saying, no, there's something more valuable here. There's something more serious here. And it is my soul. It's my eternal destination I'm concerned about. And he got rid of those things in his life. So here we have the ship. And the sailors, they're all getting rid of stuff off the ship. And it goes here, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. So he got a little bit of reprimanding there. But he didn't focus on that and just beat him over the head, so to speak. No, he had something better to share that went beyond that. Verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So in the midst of this, and no doubt, if you can just visualize here for a moment, now I've not been on a big ship in a big storm like this. I've been on a little boat in some windy conditions out on a lake, and I was rather concerned, especially when the motor wouldn't start. And we're out in the middle of this lake in this little boat, and all of a sudden here's these waves and it's getting windy. You're like, oh no. What's going to happen? But here it is on a big boat. And later we come to find out there's over 270 people on this boat. So this is a big ship. Not just some little boat with 20 people on it. This is a big ship. All right? So they're out there in this storm. And just being tossed to and fro and water coming over the edges. And they've not been able to sleep hardly any. They've not been able to eat much at all. And they're just here hanging on for dear life. And for someone to step on the scene and say, you know, I got a message for you. Be of good cheer. For no one's going to lose their life. We're going to lose the ship, but none of us are going to lose our lives. That's some comforting words. And here's what's amazing. I believe there is more weight to what Apostle Paul had to say here, because his first statement was, sirs, I already warned you what was going to happen, and now look what has happened. And not that he was bragging on himself, but he was trying to validate the point that what I have to say is true. It has happened just as I told you. It's exactly what happened. And no, I'm not a professional sailor here, but I had some insight. I had an unction from God that this is what was going to happen, and exactly what happened. And then he tells them, but furthermore, I have another message for you. We're not going to lose our lives. So be of good cheer. And he goes on, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. So he's saying, this night, this earlier, someone paid me a visit, an angel of the Lord. And I got a message from God. And as his servant and as his child, this message is, he goes on, verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So what a wonderful message to hear. That was comforting to everyone. For Apostle Paul to share this, and no doubt they're thinking, okay, what he said earlier proved true, exactly what happened. And now he has this to share. You know, maybe there is something here. Maybe there is some hope. And sure enough, soon after that, later, verse 36, he encourages them to go ahead and eat. Says verse 36, then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. So he encouraged them, go ahead and eat. You need some strength here. And you think about this. No doubt the Lord knew, through Paul, telling them too, that they're going to need some strength to do some swimming here in a bit. Yes, you're going to save your life, but there's going to be some more effort here. You're going to have to take action, all right? And not just cruise on this ship, smooth sailing and no issues, and cruise right into port and just, you know, everything fine and dandy. And no, there's going to be some more challenges ahead. So go ahead and eat. Store up some energy here. So they ate some of the meat. In verse 37, and we were in all the ship 260 souls. That's 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So here again, they've been saving some of the food back, but they all ate. And they're like, okay, this is some of the last stuff we're going to get rid of, so we're going to throw it out too. Because we mean business here. And this ship's about to go down. And they knew that. And as the rest of the story goes, it did eventually wreck on this little island. And it broke the ship apart and in pieces. And the captains, or the centurion, there were some threats of, oh, you know, we need to kill all the prisoners. He's like, no, just keep them all alive. Kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You know, that's a comfort to me. That exactly what God told Apostle Paul, that's exactly what happened. Letter for letter. The ship was going to be lost, but all the lives are going to be spared. You know, that was a pretty bold statement. Because you had on the ship some prisoners. And you had a centurion. And you had the captain of the ship. You had a mixed multitude of people. And then you had someone, Apostle Paul. You had all kinds of people on this ship. And no doubt they're thinking, well, there's certain ones on here, they don't deserve to survive. And that's what the story is saying here. There's these prisoners, who cares about them? We just want the sailors, you know, the ones that were in charge of the ship. We're the ones that deserve to make it safely over shore. No. The words were from God to Apostle Paul and Apostle Paul to everyone else saying, no, we're all going to be spared. So let's all do what we can to make it alive. Okay. And that's exactly what they did. And it says here, verse 44, some swam. Others had to hang on to boards and broken pieces of the ship. And how they say that, of course, the Roman soldiers, they were trained to swim. They were trained swimmers. So no doubt they got rid of any of their extra weighted armor and paraphernalia. And they could swim. They could make it. But others, maybe the prisoners and Apostle Paul, maybe they weren't that good of swimmers. But there was a way for them to survive. The broken pieces of the ship. All right. Whatever it was, they hung on to and they made it safely to shore. You know, that goes to show me something in life. That God has a way for all of us to be spared. God has a way, and it is through, of course, the blood of Jesus. He's the door, okay? But there's all kinds of experiences in life that it looks like ultimate destruction. It looks like we're going to lose everything, including our life or our opportunity. But God is saying, no, every single person is going to be spared here. You know, in life, Satan has a plan to destroy everyone that he can. But I'm so thankful that God also has a barrier. God's saying, yes, you may lose the ship, but not your life. You know, with Job, it was the same thing. Satan wanted to destroy him, and God said, nope, you can take everything but his life. And that's exactly what Satan did. He took everything he could. But in the end, Job is saying, well, God giveth and he taketh away. He's like, it's the Lord's anyway. You know, that is the same mindset that Apostle Paul had. That's why he could say, I counted it a loss for Christ. He's like, nothing else really matters here. And it was because he got a hold of that ahead of time, that it was through his sacrifice, through his giving, through his total commitment and trust to the Lord, that he was able to spare 275 people's lives on the ship. Think of that for a moment. They could have all lost their lives. But Apostle Paul was the one, he was the stabilizing factor, and it was because of who? The Lord. It was because of what Christ had done for Apostle Paul. Now I want to read these scriptures again, back in Philippians, and consider again what he's saying here. Back in Philippians, the third chapter, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So there were some things that he knew that gained him position, recognition, power, authority, even money. You name it. But then he realized, no, I got to get rid of those things if I am to gain what is most important. He said, those I counted loss for Christ. And it goes on in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. That's quite a mouthful. But he says here, and do count them but dung. What is dung? It's waste. It's trash. Rubbish. It's also meant as things thrown to dogs. You think about that. You throw something to a dog, what's going to happen? If they don't eat it, they're going to tear it up. It's going to be waste, okay? Of no use. You know, that's exactly what Apostle Paul did. He realized that he was on a fast track for destruction. When he was on the road to Damascus there, he thought he had everything in control. He had a wonderful life, he thought. But when he realized, and when he came face to face with God through his son Jesus there on the road to Damascus, he realized, no, I've got it all wrong. It maybe took him a little while to sort through all of this, but he finally got down to the basics and got down to the root of it and realized, you know what? I got to get rid of all this extra weight and baggage that's bogging me down, because I'm going to lose my life or my soul if I don't. You know, that's exactly what they did on that ship that shipwrecked. They were getting rid of all kinds of things. Getting rid of it. I can't use this. It's weighting us down. It's a hindrance. We're just going to get down to the basics here, because we're desperate to survive. And in the end, that's exactly what they did. They made it out alive. The Lord had mercy on them there. Even the ones that weren't true believers in Christ. But yet, they were able to believe the report that Apostle Paul gave them. And Lord, help us. Sometimes God may put us in that type of situation, but it's only when we have already counted those things a loss for Christ. He can't use us otherwise, because our words will have no weight. We'll have no real influence if we haven't practiced the things that we've been talking about, we've been reading about, maybe perhaps our whole life. And if we haven't been backing those things up with living it out in our life and truly getting rid of those things that are not necessary and are not needed and that can be a hindrance and can be a weight to us, then we can't be effective in our testimony to the world, you see. But Apostle Paul's words and his testimony had weight. They had meaning. There was truth behind it. And God backed it. You see? God can do the same with you and I. That we can be effective in our little world, our little sphere of influence, because we have access to the throne of God. We have communion with God. God pays us a visit just like the angel paid Apostle Paul a visit. And we get a hold of God, and then we can share that, and we can testify of that, and it's effective. And it works. And in the end, it proves true. And then our word has even more weight. And it's not so much focused on us, dear ones. That's not what it is. It all, Apostle Paul, he's like, it's not even my reputation. I count that but loss. He said, I've lost it all. I lose it all. He's like, it doesn't matter necessarily what I say, but it's what saith the word of the Lord, you see. Well, he said, I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What is more important in life? You know, someday our names will be written on a tombstone. And I've heard it said many times, they'll talk about there'll be the date that we were born and the date we died. And those things are important, but what's more important is that little dash. That little dash, it can't be said in just a few words. But that little dash is what our life contained. The things that we carried out in our life, the things that we did in all honesty and in all, how can I word this? With all of our heart and with all of our being, with all of our soul and all of our effort, that we counted all those things that maybe we have built up at one time, saying, you know what? There's really nothing left in that. I got to get rid of that. And you go on to the next phase of life and the next stage of life, and the Lord finally reveals to you, well, that's of no use either. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get rid of that too. Lord, leave me in the way everlasting. And with Apostle Paul, he realized he had to get rid of all that. He was smart. He was intelligent. But that was getting in the way of his spiritual understanding, of the Holy Spirit working with him. So he got rid of it. And so many other things. He got rid of it all. And the Lord wants us to do the same. Be willing, as it says here, as Apostle Paul. And what did Apostle Paul? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's like, you can't pattern your life exactly like mine, but follow my example of counting all those things for loss for Christ's sake. He says that I may win Christ, win His favor. That someday, when we reach that other shore, yes, maybe our ship had some damage and had some losses, but we were spared. We made it safely to the other side. And to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. What more important words to hear at the end of our life? We've lived that little dash. We've lived our life and say, Lord, it's to win Your favor. It's to win our eternal prize. All that, everything else is just rubbish. It's just trash. It's just for the dogs. But Lord, I want to please You. I want to live for You. I want to serve You. I want to enjoy that heavenly reward that I may win Christ. And not only His favor upon my life here on earth, and to be blessed of the Lord here, and to allow Him to guide and direct us and to inspire us with words of encouragement and cheer and comfort to others like Apostle Paul did. He's like, be of good cheer, folks, when he was on that ship. They needed to hear that. You know, there's folks in our lives that need to hear that too. Be of good cheer. But can we say those words if we haven't followed the pattern of Apostle Paul? Oh, Lord, help us to be challenged, to do what we know to do, and as different ones have said, and do it well. Not half-heartedly. You know, Apostle Paul could have easily come back and said, well, you know, you guys can do what you want, really. You know, he could have backtracked, he could have regressed on some things, but no. He held true all the way. He's like, no, this is what the Lord gave me. And this is what He said He would do. Spare everyone's lives. Don't take the lives of these prisoners. We'll all be okay. And it was. And as I mentioned earlier, when I opened a little message this morning, God has a plan to help us make it safely to the other side. He has our course charted out. There's some things we may not see, we may not know, we may not understand. And there's some nights, some days where the sun doesn't seem to shine, and we can't see the stars at night, and we feel lost. And it's still the winds are beating. But you know what? Let's invite the one on board that has control of the waves. That's what Apostle Paul was doing that night. I believe he was on his knees saying, Lord, we're at Your mercy here. We need something from You. And God paid him a visit. Because why? He'd already counted all those things but loss for Christ. For the favor of God to smile upon him and say, I got you, child. I'll lead you safely to the other shore. And by God's help, we can all do the same. You pray for me.